Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello.
Hey.
Thank God for that.
Hey. No, I'm joking.
Every time I slide my dang thing back up.
Everyone then was like, oh yeah, I can't bother doing this anymore. I was saying Tom, drove past Tom's house yesterday. Saw him, one window down. Hi Tom.
What was I doing?
What, are you washing and cleaning the car?
Hoovering the car out.
Wow. That's a very like sort of...
adult job that, innit?
Yeah, it's just like a sort of Sunday sort of like, let's do something day, like activity.
I really pulled my side as I was leaning in. Just, you know, like you do all this, obviously, you know what I mean? You do a bit of working out, you go running, you're like, you're all right.
It's the simplest things
and
that
you get just
you.
Like lean into the back of the car and I'm a fucking all my side, like the bottom of my back on the side of my ass just went.
It's totally, do you know what it is? Because when you're going to run, I bet you don't stretch first, do you, like, proper?
Not all the time, no.
Exactly. That's,
that happened
that's
to me.
Fine.
Do you remember we did a gig, it's not the first gig at the Ritz we did, but one of the later ones when we were a bit more established.
Yeah.
And it's while we were getting around in a splitter.
Yeah.
And
spliffer.
And I remember we used to have like cupboards, storage cupboards, and I remember reaching for something in there, like my neck and the entire left side of my body went before the gig.
I think that's a stroke.
Yeah, well, looking back, perhaps it was.
What were you saying? Was that your point, Joe, that you were driving past mine, you saw me? Was there something else to the story?
I told you how to stretch out your thingy first, didn't I?
You sorted my leg out.
Straight away. Dr. Donovan, that's what they call me.
Weren't you saying something else?
I can't remember.
Unregistered.
Said, drove past Tom's and saw
him. Oh, that's it, yeah, I saw it. And then Tom was like, oh, and he's like, what are you doing today? And Tom was like, just hoovering the car. Nothing else really. And I was like, I'm buzzing for tomorrow because we get to do the podcast.
That was it, yeah.
I was like, it's like the
he
highlight
said he was
of a
looking
week.
Forward to it.
You know what? I look forward to coming and like, it's a routine. It's just that my material, I struggle because obviously a lot of my comedy is based on sort of that precise momentary sort of
you've got
situation.
Quite a thespian vibes today, you know?
Yeah, well, I've been, yeah, I can't even think of anything funny to say about that.
But it does, you know what I mean? Like,
cross-legged.
Quite Dick Whittington today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the thin palate, little sort of. I don't even. What would you call this?
It's like a
quite a Steve Jobs.
Yeah, it's like a Steve Jobs turtleneck, but it's not. It's not a roll.
Not a roll, is it?
It's just like a
high neck.
High neck, yeah.
Quite tunic, isn't it?
Yeah.
How are you, Miles?
Yeah, good. Tired.
Any updates on the house?
It's not falling down yet. No, it's fine. Been explaining Emily there. Me and Emily have been exposing the brickwork. And what else are we doing? Just been fucking.
I was
just hard. Just hard work, isn't it? Because I've gone from doing fuck all to being like, I'm there with hammers. There with hammers.
This is what I was going to say to him. I walked past his house because he lives near me. So I said hello on the front as you had the door open doing work. He's like, I've not sat down all day. He's like, I'm fucking knackered.
You sent us a picture of what you did. It was like just a little hole in the wall one day.
I know, yeah. No, but it's going good, but...
It's intensive.
It's
work,
a whole new
it?
World, yeah, that shit, isn't it?
It's like, I want to get as much done as I can before I move in, because then I'll just be, like I say, I'll just have to be fucking sat down. I won't want to do anything. But there's the messy jobs you need to do first. Exposing the brick, getting the floor sanded and done, painting, obviously decorating and shit, so... It'll take a bit of time.
Are you enjoying it, though?
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I want to fuck off from here and start doing it now.
You'll appreciate the place more because you will have made it what it is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so it's good, but it's constantly on your head.
Hard work, innit?
It's hard work, but it's
when I rang you up to ask how it was, you say you describe like your names in your head. So you
no,
remember
I mean
names.
I'm really bad with names, and it's a really nice road, and all the labours I've met most of them now, they're all really nice.
All the labours.
All
nice.
The labours.
I thought you said nice. Labours.
A bit flappy.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. Go on.
No, yeah, so, it's not really anything that bad. You know, they're all nice, but I don't know. I forgot all the names, so every time I see them and I catch the name, I write it down in my phone, so I've got...
Fucking hell, it's good that.
Yeah, yes, but I've replaced the names, which is weird anyway, because, you know, you never know. I don't want to talk about people, you know. Yeah. So I've put Darren, opposite with glasses.
But my thing is, like, imagine if Darren comes over for a chat with Miles, and Miles is like, oh, what's his name? He gets his phone out, and he's like, opposite neighbour. But Darren isn't wearing glasses that day. He's like, it can't be Darren. He's not got glasses on.
Have you got any more descriptions?
Well, no, I've got Eric and Lucy, and then just a question mark. So I'm getting there. So I need to see them, describe them, and every time I see them, go, hey up, just look at my phone. But no, like I said, there's people I've met, and you've got a story as well about your neighbours with cards and stuff.
When we first moved into the gaff, it was near like Christmas time, wasn't it? So we moved in. I mean, you got all the cards, don't you? And next door came round with like a card and a bottle of champagne, dead nice. So I mean, saying, oh, where your neighbours?
Congrats.
Blah, blah, yeah. So, oh, fuck off. So did obviously. So they came, dropped a card off, blah, blah. So anyway, it comes to like near Christmas, as Fia's writing out cards for Christmas. It's not fucking my thing. I'd get involved in that.
It's quite Banks Lane, that, isn't it?
Yeah, so she's writing out all the cards, anyway, and she goes, oh, fuck, what our next door called? Do you know what I mean? Just moved in, writing all the cards. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, they sent us a card, didn't they? Like, saying congratulations, like, welcome reference to the road and shit like that. Mint, let's fucking get the card down. Got the card, opened it up, mint. It was like fucking Martin and Hannah or whatever.
Yeah.
I just made their names up. But anyway, wrote the card out. I went round, dropped it off. I was like, oh, yeah, here's Grand America, here's a card and that, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, literally about 10 minutes later, got another card through the post, and it's from next door, got the names wrong.
Oh.
It was the people we bought the house off.
Did they say it?
Nah, they just put in it like...
their name at the bottom.
Their names at the bottom, and it wasn't fucking... And we were like...
A discreet correction.
It's like the other time when he came on, I was like, do you fancy coming for a drink? Sophia went, no.
I fucking got so much time for that.
Sophia don't give a fuck. She was like, I'm just about to have a nap on the sofa.
Fair enough, innit?
Well, you know, she was napping on the sofa, they came on.
Wish I could speak my mind.
Obviously, this was ages ago, and they went, do you fancy coming for a drink? We said we would do, and Sophia said, no.
Like, you were like,
I've got a lot of time for that. I struggle with that side of life.
Give me 10 grand?
Along with many others.
We've made friends with the neighbours. Well, the ones across the road from us. We're like really, really good mates with them now. Going into it, I thought, like, on my mum and dad's road, they're not really mates with anyone on the road they've lived on for like 25 years. Like, there's no friends on the road. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I've been brought up with. Katie shows me some of the fucking, you know, like the group, whatever, the Facebook groups.
Oh, yeah. And
what do you mean? What do you mean groups?
So the group that on Facebook.
It's like vigilante groups. Like,
someone's not picking up dog poo on such and such.
What's on Stockport?
You know what's mad? Like, you know, speaking of fecal matter from dogs. you know, obviously
white dog shit.
Yeah. That's a whole different thing. But you know, like a classic Stockport thing is you go on a walk and you'll just see a bag of dog shit like hanging from a tree.
Yeah.
So it's like if your dog, you know, crimped off a length.
Yeah.
Surely, like you think about what you know, shite is. If you just if you've got the option right of, yeah, it's, you know. Bag it up and find the nearest dog waste bin, or bag it up and launch it into a sycamore tree, or remove the plastic and just boot the shit into a bush because it's going to decompose anyway.
I think you should take a tiny little shovel with you. Well, said no, this. Yeah, I'm going to go drag it down with it. Right? A little tiny one, like, do you know what I mean? Like a little, what are they called now?
Like a bucket and spade, like a spade.
Yeah, but obviously a trowel.
Yeah, yeah. A shite trowel.
And
turd trowel.
And you should just bury it.
A pointing trowel.
Just bury it.
If it's off the path, like, because you think about it, you put it in a plastic bag at decomposing, like, and even the ones that are biodegradable, it still take like fucking 8 years.
Yeah, just cut out the middleman, do you know what I mean?
And if you buried it, it'd be fucking gone in about fucking a week.
What about really old people who can't, like, be burying shit?
Bury yourself.
So the only thing is with dog shit is that, isn't it like fucking... Yeah, I know.
It can be toxic.
This brings on to one of my topics.
Well, you know, dog shit, you get it in your eyes, you can go blind, can't
you?
Yeah,
I mean, it's quite a dangerous thing. Like, it is bad. You should just pick up after mine
pick
all the
up,
time.
Yeah. Put it in the bin.
The people who slob it in a tree, it's like, what's all that about?
I think that most of the time, it's like, because I do this on the walk sometimes.
I know what you're going to say.
Oh, you come and get it afterwards.
There's not a bin near me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you and you know you're walking back that way. So you pick it up and you just put it in like the bush next side. But then other people, I've gone past sometimes and the dog shit's gone.
Yeah.
So I think most of the time it's like, just people who are taking the piss and start lobbing it about. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I've been with, like, when we were younger, a group of mates who fucking did shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
I didn't handle dog waste in such a manner. But
you ever held a shit in your hand?
No. Because I've held my dog shit in the
I've
hand.
Not. Okay, yeah. Right. Well, just, what's
sorry, I thought you were talking about your own shit.
No.
Here's one. Semen collection from dogs.
Wow. Is this for, like,
it's a job,
breeding?
Isn't it? Someone's job.
Oh, you do it for horses and
stuff. Someone's job.
To wank off a dog.
That's weird.
That's very dark.
The same with, yeah, I was going to say, same with a horse, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've seen a guy do it. It's like a
it's
long...
It's a big sheath, isn't it?
Yeah.
They lube it up and...
It's dark,
yeah. I don't... Do you know... It
wouldn't like to wank a dog off.
I mean, would you? Do you fancy it?
Do you think they use gloves?
I fucking hope so.
Yeah, you dearly hope
You'd
so.
You'd think there'd be some Parasites kind of... Some kind of, like... device to the kind of does it
a robot wanker.
It's not really what I want to be thinking about, to be honest.
I've ever told you the story about Soccer AM with the footy?
Yep. No, I don't know.
So we talked about Soccer AM the other day, and I forgot about this story until the other day, but Tom, it was when me and you went on maybe the second time.
What the fuck?
Tom, stop looking at dogs getting wanked off. It was like maybe the second time we were on. Was right. It just me and you?
First time was just me and you.
The third time was just me and you again.
Right.
And I was wearing, like, you know, sort of light-coloured jeans. Just pretty plain. Anyway.
Oh, I remember.
Fucking got on the show, and it was our third time on. So the first time, me and Tom went on our own. Then we all went on as a band. Then the third time, me and Tom went on just again. So anyway, doing all the stuff. And they throw, you know, they give you a ball the third time you've been on. Soccer AM ball. Oh, boss, this is mint. Anyway, Kim comes to the break. Fucking really need to piss me, so... I'm like, I need a piss. They're like, oh, you've got like 40 seconds. Do you know what I mean? They had breaks, so go now. So I'm here. Go in, have my piss. Go to the sink, push down the thingy, the sink with my hand under it. And it's one of them dead powerful ones. And no joke,
all down,
it went all over where my fucking knob is. Like, I looked like I fucking pissed myself, right? So I was there like that going, oh, fuck.
Live
and the guy knocks on the fucking toilet going, hey, Joe, just letting you know we've got 15 seconds. So I was like, oh. So I come out and I'm like, mate, I've
quick
got fucking,
piss.
I'm, you know me. You've been there fucking 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, fucking look, like this, the fucking taps. And he was like, oh no. Anyway, I go back in and I get the ball off you, don't I? And I put the ball over my fucking lap, like fucking hell. Anyway, then Fenners and Jimmy Bullard come back in and sit down and start talking. No one knew, but there was a bit in it, and he go, fucking hell, you love that ball, don't you, Joe? Like, so I laughed. I was like, fuck off. Honestly, I was like shitting myself, like thinking everyone's going to see this. And instead of it just being like, you've got long hair, get your hair cut, you look like a knobhead, mosher.
Yeah.
Be like, you pissed yourself, dickhead.
Did you used to wear a chain?
Yeah.
When you were a mosher?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I think I went through a chain phase.
Yeah.
Chain on wallet. Nothing in the wallet.
Nothing, yeah.
Josh, with you though, it was chain mail, wasn't it?
I was more of a chav than a mosher.
Oh, you were fucking.
You were into the sports.
What
clothes.
Were you, Chaz?
I was a mosher then a chav.
Oh, was you?
Yeah. I did the same
waistcoat,
thing as you, Chaz.
Sharks and the Jets. I had the fucking Vans, the Bernies jeans.
Yeah. Yeah.
The chain, the Papa Roach hoodie.
Oh, you see, I didn't have a Van. I had DCs.
DCs.
Was it Airwalk?
Yeah, Airwalk. Yeah, and I had a Slipknot hoodie.
Yeah. Oh, so did I. No way.
I had to get, my mum had to Sharpie out the back of it because it had the lyrics and one of the lyrics was shit. Because I wore it to school, he had to Sharpie out because it got touched out from the teachers.
I went Arndale Market and got a fake Nike trackie. It was black and grey. I'm going to try and get it up now. I remember getting my bike and riding about on it like, I fucking love this trackie. short back and sides.
Your hair was proper scrote as well, wasn't
well
it?
Well short.
I was a strange hybrid at one point. I had
yes.
I had Bon Jovi skull top.
Skull,
yeah, like skull.
You were just a gimp.
I got it in Spain. I had like Airwalk.
I got it in Spain.
Bon Jovi. I had like Airwalk shorts and then shorts. You need to picture it. Then I had them fake what they call total 90s. Turf 90s skull top shorts.
Did you ever swap trainers at school? That was a thing at primary school.
I was always too small for that kind of
people
shit.
People swapped trainers at primary school.
In my mum said she sent me to school once when I was dead young, infant school.
Yeah, like we've talked about this.
Oh, have we? I changed my shoes. Oh, yeah, we have talked about
we've
it.
We've talked about it. We might have talked about all this. This is fucking recycling.
I didn't know you had Turf 90s, oh, Miles. I thought it was just the Levi's shoes you had.
Levi's shoes, Turf 90s.
Where the fuck did you get these shoes from?
Well, I mean, it's not like, it's not fucking Victoria. I'm not like working at when I'm eight, am I? Do you know what I mean? I don't control my finances. Do you know what I mean? Straight to Windsor's, your feet will fucking be warm and walk. That'll do. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh,
Windsor's.
Look at this 8-year-old in designer shoes that no one gives a fuck about. Designer. Fuck football. Yeah. I didn't play football though, so it was
I didn't at the time.
It was an unneeded investment.
Ben Sherman shirts, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was a bit older.
But like as if you had like a Christmas
like
day.
Polo shirts, weren't they?
No, like proper shirt shirts.
Oh, short-sleeved shirts.
Yeah.
They had a Christmas Day pair of jeans.
One of our mates in school, I was going to say his name then, but I won't, but he had one on for PE once. Fucking mad.
Did you ever have to rep, you know, if you forgot your PE kit and you had to rep the BO, like,
at
school, it was so grim. But imagine the skin diseases you would retract from that. Speaking of sweaters and jumpers and what have you, I just thought
Josh is just frozen with that. We need to put some cold.
I like your prank call.
I was just looking for material on a phone, something interesting to talk about. I thought, you know what I've not done? Never done for the podcast. Go into my junk spam email.
You've got a really good one as well.
Yeah, I don't know why. Just get some bizarre stuff.
You've been fished.
Yeah. I must have. I just looked in, and usually it's all ridiculous. Like you've been gifted $3 billion. Just give me your bank details.
Yeah,
I hope you did.
The long card number and the digits on the back. Of course, I'm just waiting. For some reason, they said that your bank balance will go to zero for a while. And it's still on zero. Anyway, this one's from a person called Nelly J. Allen. And it says, "Hello, Mr. Brackets, Mrs. Dewhurst. I'm a student, and I'm honoured to be selling T-shirts for you. I have all size, colour, product type, gender, guaranteed delivery in 4 to 10 days. I know you very love your family and want to have T-shirt for your family. I would be honoured to sell T-shirts for you. Help me have many orders. Thank you a lot. Have a good day." So I was like, all right, well, sounds like a nice offer, even though it's come to the very wrong side of my email.
Yep.
So I've got here, big sale off with coupon 20%, and the code is T4Names. And the 4 is obviously number 4. So I had a look, and they're all, just so you can see, they're all like different designs here.
Look cool.
Like, and so there's hoodies, T-shirts.
Cash.
And so
no one will get that.
And they're like from afar, all I can see is Dewhurst on them with like different designs, like skulls and crowns.
Wait, let me
I'll show you
them.
After.
Josh, so has this just come out of the blue? They're just saying
this has just come to my junk email. So
you should use them for merch.
But also, bear in mind at the top, the designs say limited edition. So this one says here, Dewhurst with a skull. Blood 100% runs through my veins. here we go. The legend is alive, an endless legend, Dewhurst.
This is quite...
It sounds like a T-shirt Miles would have worn.
It's quite my scene from back in the day.
There's one here.
It's quite Bon Jovi.
It is a bit Bon Jovi.
I may be wrong, but I highly doubt it. I am a Dewhurst.
I need fucking hell, I need that.
These are great.
Never underestimate the power D of a Dewhurst. St. Patrick's Day, Dewhurst team.
Oh,
it's
right.
A Dewhurst thing you wouldn't understand.
It's quite like to name the podcast St. Patrick's Day Dewhurst team.
These are great.
Yeah, nobody is perfect, but if your name is Dewhurst, you're pretty damn close. So I've ordered all of them.
Hello, gents. How are you?
Okay, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Very well. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
all good.
Where are you guys? In a studio?
Yeah, in sunny Stockport.
Yeah, we've got like, we bought, just before lockdown, we bought like a big warehouse thing, and it's like storage studio, sort of.
All in everything. One.
You can see it's still nice. Not decided on the colour of the wall yet.
That is, no. I like the middle one.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think that's actually the one we've gone for.
I mean that is literally 50 Shades of Grey you got there.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
How have you been anyway?
Yeah, really well, really well. I mean, listen, as well as one can be in lockdown, but yeah, you know, working hard, still filming, still writing. So yeah, it's been, it's nice to do your job, isn't it?
My mum is a huge, huge fan of the book, by the way. I had said, my mum said that this morning. She said, I bet you get that all the time now, don't you?
Yeah, it's really nice, actually. I'm delighted with how well it's sold. I walk down the street now and people just want to talk about the book rather than about TV. So it's lovely. Honestly, it's lovely. I just finished the second one as well. So,
oh, great.
You know, the difficult second album, right?
my girlfriend started the book, I think, yesterday. She's read the first few chapters. So,
oh well, listen, when I see you gents, I will sign any books you want.
Oh, mate, that'd be great.
When did you start writing that book, Richard?
It was, I mean, it's a while ago, probably 3 years ago. It took me a couple of years to do, you know, because it's just, you know, because I didn't, I guess, like, when you did your first album, right, when you're doing your first demos and stuff like that and you haven't signed a deal, it's just you, right? You can just do what you want. You can stop when you want. You
no
start
deadlines,
when you want.
No pressure.
Yeah, so I didn't sign up with anybody. I didn't tell anyone I was doing it or anything like that. Just so I sort of took my time and I gave up on it a couple of times and went back to it. But of course, now as soon as you sign a deal, then, you know, they want an album a year, right?
Yeah. I turned to Tom then straight away like, yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, Tom. Pull your finger out, mate. What else have you got to do in the last year or so? You guys are quite prolific though, right?
Yeah, touch wood. it's not dried up yet. So
that's good, isn't it? You write a lot.
Yeah, you write a lot. And I think even the other things, we're always trying to stay on top of things like videos and things like that. We're
quite full on, like we're
control freaks, aren't we?
Yeah, we're all, you know, we plan pretty much everything to do with the band. So, and we all like we're still in Stockport. We all like live near each other still. So we've not really done that thing where you all kind of end up in different parts of the world and like trying to get together is a nightmare. We're like round the corner from each other still.
Well, that's it. I was listening to your chat with Simon Le Bon, and as soon as he goes, yeah, the band manager who lives in upstate New York, you think, oh, that's the
yeah, yeah. That's what we
that's
thought
a
as well,
world, isn't it?
Glad to see. I feel like all I have to do is turn the TV on at the moment, and it's you doing some various game show.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's been
Richard.
I proper love it.
Do you know what we had so much time for when you kindly invited us onto Pointless?
Oh yeah.
Was the fact that you had jeans on from the waist down underneath the table?
Yeah.
and a suit on
top. You know what? I'm so thick that for the first three series of that, I was wearing a full suit and shoes and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a producer, by the way. I know my business. And it took me three series where I worked out I could just wear jeans and trainers.
You've been doing like the lockdown look for years before lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. I've literally, my entire job has been like a Zoom call for 12 years now. No, that's why it literally takes me 2 minutes to get changed between shows. So I just have to put a new shirt. And you know, poor old Xander's got to change into a whole suit.
Is that all the show at the moment? I forgot the name. It's going to really annoy me that you do.
House of Games. That's the problem. So I do two. Thing is lots of people do, you know, do lots of shows. The trouble is with Pointless and House of Games. Firstly, they're daily. So, you know, that's so you're on all the time. Yeah. But secondly, they're both successful. And most shows are not successful. And so I've got two. And people like both of them, which means they keep recommissioning them. So it feels like I'm on a lot. What I need is a flop. That's what I need.
I mean, we could probably help you out.
That would help me out.
I feel like House of Games is like, this might be controversial to say, but it's like the cooler version of Only Connect.
Yeah, it's like someone once described it as it's like Only Connect meets Catchphrase.
Yeah, totally.
And I thought, yeah, that's about it. So it's sort of clever, but it's also really, really dumb. It's like, you know, which is a lovely combination.
It's the map one. That's why, because I'm rubbish with maps, and it's the, you know what I mean? I'm always like, it's there, and it's just like I've never been.
I thought you were good with maps.
No, I'm good at reading map stuff, but you know, like when it comes to like a world map and like where's the city of Thingy or stuff, right. I'm absolutely useless. And that's it. They'll get like a beauty spot or something, and say where is this mountain or something, and like they've got to like put it where they think of the map's fun.
It's really tricky. I loved it when you boys came on Pointless, though. That was fun. So it says a lot about you as well, and your ambitions and your sort of audiences you want to reach as well, because, you know, some people are a bit too cool for school. View is, if you've got a song or an album you're proud of, you sell it to as many people as possible, right?
100%. Yeah,
I mean, I think we did a week where we were on Blue Peter and the Andrew Marr show in the same week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit weird that one, wasn't it? It was
that's,
a bit mad, the Andrew
too
Marr.
Far. It was a bit of a mad one.
Honestly,
that, yeah.
It was like something, it was like during Brexit. It was like, I can't remember who it was, but Andrew Marr.
It was like a really intense, like.
Grilling someone about Brexit. And he's like, and now Blossoms. We were just like, oh my God. Like, this is, It was. It was quite funny though.
Quite Black Mirror, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. I remember
your record company. Your record company must be over the moon though, because most bands that won't do anything, right? So you know, my brother's in a band.
Yeah.
And you know, they. So he's in Suede, and you know, they were super cool, and you know, they wouldn't do stuff, you know, unless they absolutely had to. But it's my view, and it's the same with authors. So you know, when I wrote the Thursday Murder Club, and you get asked to do X, Y, or Z, and I just would do everything because you want to sell. That's the point, isn't it? We're not, you know, we've got to make a bit of money. I don't come from money. I suspect you don't come from money.
No.
So if you've done something you're proud of, you want to sell a load and make some money, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't get the stigma sometimes with stuff like that. So it's just like, I mean, 100%. I'm saying that now. I reckon if we had to do Andrew Martin, Blue Peter in the same week again, I'd probably more be like,
Blue Peter was a boss.
I just remember there was a kid at the back with his fingers in his ears and then, like, someone slowly coming in, just like taking him away.
Yeah. No, but weren't we like playing the tune? There's all these kids just dancing in the background. I was like, this is West.
It's just like, well, it was
proper West.
On Pointless, I'll tell you who we've had on Pointless so you can see the pantheon you're in. So Shaken Stevens, he's been on.
Nice.
But this Christmas, I know, right? Where Paul Heaton came on this Christmas.
Nice.
And, you know, if Paul Heaton's going to do something, I think anyone should do it, right?
We've got the same management. I'm not going to say we put a good word in about Pointless to Paul Heaton, but that's the angle I'm going at. So, obviously, if you've seen the podcast we did with Le Bon, I call him Le Bon now because we're friends.
Yeah.
but we just go through 5 songs from Greater Manchester area. Which one's your favourites?
I like how you've now said Greater Manchester.
Well, I know, because you've got it, haven't you?
Is that to include us?
It's purely so we can be included.
But, you can't sit in a shed in Stockport and say, we need 5 songs from Manchester.
Should we go into the first one?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Wait, listen, gents, I've tried not to be too cliched. I haven't heard all your stuff, so I'll tell you 3 bands I've got nothing by, okay? I've got no Oasis.
Ooh. Becoming a thing that now, because they're the most picked band in this section. But now the last few guests have been like, I've said what you've just said. What's your reasoning?
Well, because you know the whole point of this, I think, is you want to say some stuff that maybe people don't know quite so well.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I'm not going to come up with an Oasis song. I'm not going to say, "Oh, the Master Plan," and people go, "Well, I've never heard of that."
Yeah, yeah.
you know, I've got no Smiths.
Do you know what? They've not really been mentioned a lot, the Smiths.
No,
they have been mentioned though.
Not as much as I thought.
It's interesting. I wonder if that's because, you know, as we want, listen, between ourselves, everybody, you know, when your lead singers go rogue when they're 40 odd, you know, it's difficult for the rest of the band, right?
Yeah,
100%.
It's very easy. Very easy for the lead singer to ruin the legacy of a band. And I've also got no Stone Roses.
Right.
Which are the 3, you'd say,
they're the 3 obvious ones, aren't they, really?
Yeah, the Father, Son and the Holy Ghost, all gone, right? I went to see the Stone Roses in a tiny pub in Brighton. So it would have been 86, 87.
Wow.
When they just released Sally Cinnamon, that was it. And not even the re-release. And I saw them, and genuinely, I'm such a terrible taste in music. I watched them, I went, yeah, they're all right. And I said, 6 months later, they had like 4 songs in the top 10. It was extraordinary.
Fucking
but that's how old I am. So anyway, none of them. I'm going to start with, I'll tell you what I was thinking of. I was thinking of, and I haven't gone with this, Voodoo Ray by a guy called Gerald, which is one of the great Manchester. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
And then I thought of, so the guy from that went on to do a song which people don't know so much, which is Hardcore Uproar by Together. Do you know that song?
No.
You've got to check that out. So that was a top 10 hit, but then went super commercial with the song I'm going to pick, which is The Key, The Secret by Urban Cookie Collective. And it's the same guy through all 3 of those bands.
Is it The Key, that? The Secret, the... No, no, I've Got the Key, is it that?
Yeah.
Sorry. It was so obvious that we were all a bit like, should we? Yeah, you don't want to commit to something sometime.
Yeah, I that's a tune. That. I never knew that they were from
the name
Manchester.
Doesn't fit, does it? Like Urban Cookie Collective.
No, I like it though.
Yeah,
I feel like it's ruined though, because when I feel like that tune for us when we were growing up was like a really like horrible, terrible
Heaven and Hell.
They did like Clubland remix.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. which is.
But no, but you, but literally, it's just, it's the same keyboard as Voodoo Ray. Can you believe it? And that's the thing. You know, it's nice. I didn't go for Voodoo Ray because I knew it would be chosen already. And Hardcore Uproar is a bit too obscurist. And the key, the secret. Obviously, everybody my age knows exactly that song. But some people maybe don't. So I thought maybe that was a kind of a nod to the mainstream while still staying in the great era of Manchester dance music.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but really, Voodoo Ray, you can't really beat, can you? Is the truth. But it's a bit sparse.
Yeah, it's, it,
I would say.
Was that Aeneas that picked,
Aeneas picked that.
I can't remember where I first properly heard that tune. I feel like it was on tour or Radio 2.
Clint Poon. He won't thank me for saying that. Clint Boone is partial to playing that at South Nightclub in town. And that's like a nightclub.
Oh, where, is he?
Yeah. The older folk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. That's
you
me.
Where are you getting to, eh?
No. But yeah, moving on to number two, Richard.
Well, listen, yeah, exactly. I think it's probably best. We will be getting on to Clint Boone later, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Now, the second one I'm going to go with, he's from Manchester. I think Mike from Bolton, but that's Greater Manchester, isn't he?
Yeah, that's
isn't it? And one of those guys, just a brilliant songwriter. I'm going to go with People Help the People by Cherry Ghost.
Yeah, Simon Aldred.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's a great tune.
You met Simon, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually went and did a bit of writing with him once, with Simon Aldred. At his house.
Because he writes with Liam Gallagher,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he writes a lot for Liam Gallagher.
What are the big ones you wrote for Liam again?
For What It's Worth. The Christmas single last year. The new one, All You're Dreaming of. He's wrote for like Sam Smith and stuff as well, hasn't he?
And why is he not recording anymore? Because, you know, he's got an amazing voice, a great songwriter.
I think he's just happy doing that now, like being behind the scenes a bit more. And do you know what I mean? He's still coining it in if he's the songwriter, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? So I think he's probably got a cushy setup now where he thinks, do you know what? I don't need to sit on tour buses anymore.
Don't need to wake up and do 5K runs, does he?
No. But I don't know. I don't actually know the reason why Cherry Ghost don't really like record or play live.
They're a great band, aren't they?
But I love that. I love people who are happy just to leave the limelight and just make a bit of money and just do their job. I like that sort of thing.
He is a good songwriter.
God, he certainly is. I mean, that's an absolute what a tune that is. I mean, really, blimey, yeah, it's not a million miles away from something you guys would record in one of your slower moments.
Take that.
You know, that's an accolade.
Yeah, take that.
I think that's the first time Cherry Ghost come up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which again, weirdly, you know when you're thinking about Manchester music, like you said then, I think sometimes it's a good thing when you take away Oasis, the Smiths, the Stomos and all them, because, you know what I mean, there's so many other great bands.
More pockets, you know
what I mean? Like, for some reason, I'm from here, but I don't really see Cherry Ghost as a Manchester band, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know why, do you know what I mean? Because
it's not part of that huge mainstream Manchester music.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to that like stadium level, innit, I suppose.
Yeah.
My final three are very Manchester, though. You'll be delighted to hear. Number three, just this. It would be probably in the top five of songs from anywhere. Ever Fallen in Love by Buzzcocks.
Nice. First entry of that song, surprisingly enough.
No.
Yeah.
Is that the first time?
Yeah. Weird. That's weird. Like weirdly enough, but yeah, goes without saying that song. Doesn't
it? Do you know what's depressing? The first time I really connected to that song, Shrek.
Was it?
Yeah, it's bad that, innit?
No.
I know, I'm sorry.
That's cool.
I know, it's... My mum and dad were never, like, massive on...
No,
Buzzcocks, so the first time I properly...
That song's kind of just been around. It's like one of them songs that's just there, existing,
yeah, but
innit?
I think the first time I actually properly, like, was like... I remember watching it and be like, it's a tune.
Yeah.
But then, do you know what I mean?
It's kind of ingrained in your psyche, innit, that tune, if you're from Manchester?
Well, apparently not.
I think that's it, but... But that's the beauty of a great tune. Great tunes never die, right?
Yeah,
so, you know, if you're doing Shrek and you listen to that, you just, you know, I'm not surprised no one said it before because it's the obvious one from Buzzcocks, right? And there's loads of sort of more obscure cuts from Buzzcocks and people say, oh, Boredom's their best ever song and this, that, the other. I think it's their best ever song. And I think generation after generation, you play that to anyone and they immediately go, yeah, okay, that's a great, it's just an absolute great pop song, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the biggest songs usually for bands, they're the biggest ones for a reason, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because... They're often simple and just they haven't been overthought.
It's like when you first start listening to a band, let's say for example, like Oasis. It's like Wonderwall gets you in there, doesn't it? It's like a lot of people for us. The song that everyone hears is Charlemagne, say.
Yeah,
and but as soon as you start listening to the band, I feel like you sort of fall out of love with that song.
Yeah,
and when you're like, oh, that's not the best song. Do you know what I mean? Because you just fall deep into this band.
Right.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh god.
But even like the title is so obvious. That, yeah, like why had no one else written that.
Yeah.
Like, ever fall in love with someone you shouldn't have fallen in love with. That's like everyone's experienced that as well as, well, you'd expect anyway.
Yeah. It's got a lot of energy as well, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, even the way it ends, I love the way it's like, ever fall in love with. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it finally ends. Yeah. Like, it's definitely up there. And like, I'm surprised it's the first time it's been brought up.
I'm delighted it's the first time. I'm very proud of that. By the way, song 5 is also going to be the first time you've heard it. I guarantee you that.
Right.
But let's go to song 4, and this is where Clint Boone makes his welcome entrance.
Oh yeah.
I was a huge Spirals fan. You know, I really was. Mm. So I'm, you know, that kind of Spirals, Charlatans, Roses era. I mean, that was right in the kind of heart of my adolescence. And the Spirals, I think, probably were the band I loved most of all. And I saw them again in a small room in Brighton in the 80s in the Escape Club in Brighton, and they blew me away. So I wanted to choose an Spirals track. You know, there's all sorts of great ones.
Yeah.
But then I also thought in my 5 I didn't have, so this is slightly a fudge, but you'll forgive me, I'm sure. I realized in my 5 I had no Marquee Smith anywhere in there, and I don't think you can do your 5 best Manchester songs without having Marquee Smith somewhere. So I'm going to go for I Want You, which was a collaboration between the Spirals and Marquee Smith. It was the Spirals single, and they did like a remix with Marquee Smith. If you've not heard it, it's terrific.
Nice. No, I've not heard that.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that. They're Spirals are. We were lucky enough to tour with them early days.
Yeah, like before we had a record deal and stuff like that. It was like December 2014.
That's how we got in contact with our sound engineer now. He did sound for them, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And we stole him.
We stole him.
He had a van and he was like a 2-in-1. He was like, I'll drive the van and do your sound for like whatever it was.
100 quid a
day. £100 a day. So we were like, he used to sleep in the van, didn't he?
Yeah,
he had like a bunk at the back.
And we used to stay in like
hostels and shit.
Funny. He's actually tiling my bathroom tomorrow. He's a jack of all trades.
He's a real Renaissance man.
Sounds like the person you want driving a van about, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I can tile your bathroom, do your sound, and drive the van.
Go on,
Clint Boone actually used to live opposite my parents in the house I grew up in.
Oh, yeah.
Did he really?
I never knew that.
This
is sort of like late 90s, early noughties. And I didn't really know who the Spirals were. And my dad actually pushed me over the road to sign one of his records. And that's how I became aware of who they were. And then, you know, obviously we went on tour with them and we've been friends and fans since.
Oh, you never told me
But so many great pop songs by the Spirals. Yeah. I mean, from This Is How It Feels, Saturn V, I think, is an amazing song by the Spirals. Joe is an amazing song. But, you know, I had to put Mark. So this one, which is I Want You, so it was one of their tracks, but it's literally just got Marquee Smith barking all over it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's it reminds you of Marquee Smith's unique contribution to Manchester and to music.
Yeah, I think
so. Check that one out.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear number 5?
Yeah, yeah, let's go.
You've
for it.
Kept up with the each no. one has been a what's the word? The first time they've been picked.
Yeah, I know you've done a good one.
4 original choices, and we've had how many people we had on? I think you're like the 9th, 8th person we've had on. So yeah,
I mean, there's been one guest who just picked Wonderwall. So you did.
Yeah.
You've
done that. Well, I think I'm going to go 5 from 5 here. This is like the most Manchester song of all, I think. Here's a song, late 70s maybe, but it was number one.
All right.
Okay, it was a one hit wonder, number one, which was a huge hit when I was kind of 9 or 10, and I loved it. And it's about Manchester. It's about Lowry, the artist, and it's Brian and Michael, Matchstock Men and Matchstock Cats and Dogs. You know this song?
I've heard that song, yeah. I've seen it on like Top of the Pops reruns, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, I think.
Now it starts lyrically, it's amazing. So a folk song, right? It's like a proper it starts he painted Salford smoky tops on cardboard boxes from the shops.
Yeah.
And you think, come on.
Yeah. It's just like I'm trying to think why
I've heard
back
that
in
song.
My brain when I try where I
did
first
like
heard
stick,
it.
Did it go like that?
Yeah, it's like folky, but I'm trying to remember the first. I don't know if you showed it me, Josh.
Probably that's one of them kind of tracks that like you'd hear your parents talking about that and reference it from like the 70s, because obviously they grew up watching like the TV and whatever, and I didn't know it was number one, to be fair, but
yeah, it was a huge hit. And listen, it's beautiful, and it's the lyrics are great. It's all about Lowry and how everyone says that, you know, all you're doing is painting this really simple stuff and you need to do something more sophisticated. And he said, no, that's all I want to do. And how they tried to get him to come down to London. And he said, no, I'm going to stay up in Manchester doing my stuff. And then I think the third verse starts, now Lowry's hang upon the wall among the greatest of them all. And even the Mona Lisa takes a bow. And you think,
it's just class, isn't it? There is,
that's nice, isn't it?
I love Lowry for that, though. I think I love the fact it's like this Stockport in his like,
yeah, there's some step the street at Crowther Street.
Yeah, there's some. All of them are just like, I don't know, they're just class, aren't they? The simplicity of them there. I'm not really a massive like art fan. Do you know what I mean? Like I love,
you appreciate it.
Yeah, but they're the ones that I'm proper. There was one weirdly, I was watching Antiques Roadshow. I don't know, weird. I love Antiques Roadshow, but I was watching it the other day, and someone had like a Lowry that they bought when they were like a 16-year-old. And he was like, they got it for like £100 back then. He was like an old guy now. And it was just this, it was like a portrait of just this guy. It was on like a plank of wood. Oh my God. It was, I can't remember how much it was worth now, but the guy was just like, sort of sat there like blown away. But he told this story about how he like the gallery where it was advertised that they had it. And he like cycled down dead quick. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then put it on his bike and stuff. And it was just like, and his mum and dad were like, why have you spent all your money you've got on this like stupid painting? Do you know what I mean? He was like, I love it. But I just thought I'd tell a little story. Yeah. I thought it was like,
there's another Manchester fact on that song, Matchstick Men, is in I think maybe all the choruses, certainly the last chorus, they have a kids choir singer on it, and that choir is St. Winifred's school choir, who then had a number one of their own with There's No One Quite Like Grandma,
yeah,
which
one
is another
like Grandma, yeah,
which is not a song I would choose, I promise you. But they are two number one singles, St. Winifred's School Choir. It's not bad going, is it?
I was going to say that.
Prolific.
Wonder if they shared the PRS.
Bet they didn't.
I would love you boys to do a cover of Matchstick Men, by the way.
When lockdown was first done, I wanted to do a thing from here when we did like loads of covers and just put it out there. We need to start get on that a little bit.
Cheers for educating us with that tune, Richard.
It's a pleasure. But listen, gents, you should do it from this podcast. If everyone's coming on giving you five great Manchester tunes, you should just do a sessions of it, like pick eight of them that you didn't know, do a cover of all of them. Boom. How about that?
Do you know what?
There's a feature.
Yeah, we wanted to do stuff like that, but it's the this is boring, isn't it? It's the copyright on podcasts. It's really, difficult
to clear. Can't do music on podcasts, right?
So annoying.
Yeah, because we wanted to when you talk about it and we want to like play them underneath, but you run into so many like
problems,
hiccups, so to speak.
I was going to say, so obviously your brother being in a band and telling us about various artists you've seen in Brighton was like, what was it that made music so big? So some people, like my dad, wasn't a really big music fan, didn't sort of go and watch bands at all. He sort of listened to it, but what was it, do you think, that attracted you to music? And did you ever play anything? Did you ever want to be in a band yourself with your brother being in a band, or were you just like, oh, he's doing that, I don't want to do it?
No, yeah, that's the good news is as I was never interested at all. I couldn't do what you guys do. It doesn't interest me being on stage singing anything like that. And so him and Brett they practice upstairs in my house when they were like 15 or something. So, you know, I'd hear them sort of playing these songs and doing little demos. And so I got all the excitement of that. And when I was like 20, 21, when they got massive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was standing on the side of a stage in Spain next to Bowie, watching them and all that kind of stuff, and just seeing people go crazy. And because it wasn't my ambition and I was, you know, had my own career ahead of me, I was able just to enjoy it. And I'm so proud of, you know, standing there watching it, as I'm sure your family are when they watch you on stage. There's something extraordinary seeing somebody that you kind of grew up with just up there, you know, entertaining thousands of people. And to, you know, especially I love, you know, obviously I've got a soft spot for a rhythm section, you know, and I love sometimes just watching Matt and Simon the drummer, you know, because they keep that, you know, they're super tight suede, they're a great live band. And I just love watching them, you know, doing their job while the lead singer, no offense to lead singers, sort of, you know, has all the histrionics and is out there getting all the acclaim and stuff like that. I love watching the engine room just absolutely kind of fire something home.
We ended up doing, I think it was Summer Sonic with Suede in Japan a few years back.
Oh, yeah.
And we were side stage watching Suede. And I just remember thinking, it is Matt, isn't it? Your brother.
Yeah.
His bass looks so small on him because he's such a big bloke. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, and again, I'm obviously being a bass player, I always hone in on the rhythm section. And I thought, you know, how tight they were.
bassists are always tall, aren't they? They're always the tallest one. John Entwistle, Chris Novoselic, they're all massive.
Charlie Salt.
Yeah. I'm just shy of 6'2".
Yeah, that's all right.
I was going to say, it's like that thing, you know, obviously being like a producer and thing. I suppose you can't watch a game show without analysing it and ripping it apart in your own head. Do you know what I mean? Like when we watch a gig, I can't help but just stare at the drummer. Or, and do you know what I mean?
It's just like, I can't, you're right with that.
I can't, weirdly, I can't really enjoy a gig as I used to enjoy a gig now. I'm just like,
unless you're really pissed.
Yeah.
And then it's sour.
Yeah, and then it's all right. But it's like, no, so like, Richard Holland can't watch a game show unless he's really pissed to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Which, fortunately, I always am. But it's exactly that. And I try and explain it to people, you know, when I watch telly, in the same way that when I listen to music, you know, I'm just listening to it. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. You guys, same with me for telly, you are underneath the car, if you know what I mean. You're like in the mechanics pit You see how everything fits together. Whereas I'm just looking at the car and it's a bright red colour. Yeah. And isn't that lovely? And so, yeah, when I'm watching telly, I'm literally watching every decision that was made, why that's happened, and I don't get it. That's why I love listening to things like that Song Exploder podcast.
Yeah,
you
know, I love
where that. They'll do it for songs I know really well, and they'll say, and this is why we've got this. I think, oh, I've never heard that guitar line in it. I'm no offense to any musicians, but you know, there'll be some piano line and they're just going, and we just knew that was going to transform the track. And you just think, God, I haven't heard it. I've never heard that on my headphones. It literally, I've never heard it.
It's weird.
If
it wasn't there, you would miss it. But it's like, where was it in the track? Do you know what I mean? It's like, I can't ever see it.
I love listening to people talk about writing songs and stuff like that.
Yeah, on a personal level,
you're comparing it to like, oh,
I do that,
or I don't do that, and then you just nick what they do.
How did you first ever hear? Because when we came on Pointless, you said you'd heard us before, and you said you were a big fan.
Yeah, I remember you tweeted about, was it the second record? Said something about the Killers and
being from Stockport.
And we were like, we'll take that.
Yeah, oh, nice.
But
that's all right.
Where did you first hear us, or have you just always sort of got your hand on the pulse in terms of new music, or you know, with it be with you? Yeah. Like you said, you just love listening to new bands and tunes.
I love new. Yeah, I'm always into new stuff. You know, I love listening to new music. And the interesting thing is, listen, we know that there haven't been many big guitar bands, you know, in the last 5-10 years. It's, you know, it just doesn't happen so much. So I'm always on the lookout for guitar bands because that's kind of what I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always looking for, you know, God, who's going to be the next Teenage Fan Club. You know, that's what I'm always after. And so, you know, as soon as you hear something like Charlemagne, you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is, I'm going to listen to their next one. And I go, you know, because quite often a song comes along and then, you know, it's not followed up. But, you know, you guys just had an album full of them and then the second album full of them. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You know, which never happens. So, yeah, I was always, you know, listen, I would have lost interest if Charlemagne had been, you know, your only, if that had been your Matchstick Men and Matchstick Cats and Dogs.
Yeah.
I'd have lost interest. But, you know, I love it when bands just do albums full of songs, you know, because there's not so much of it about these days, right? There's loads of great singer-songwriters. That's brilliant. Loads of amazing hip-hop acts. That's great. I love all that kind of stuff too. But just like a proper down the line, good old fashioned, we're going to write some great pop songs and play them on guitars. You know, it's a rarity, and you're flying the flag for it.
It is a shame. I find it hard to understand why there's not, because there's definitely a love for it and people want it. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I think it's like, must be like a record label thing. It's easy to market just like a solo artist, or, do you know what I mean?
There's so many different factors.
There is, which is strange, but I think you're definitely right. Do you know what I mean?
To that, as much as it's not a business, like, it is a business, isn't it, to them, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're from the outside, they look and be like, right, a band, say like five of us, right, that's 5 hotel rooms, that's 5 train tickets everywhere you go, whereas a singer-songwriter, they're just one person getting about, aren't they? So even on if you strip it down to that level, that's probably something to do with it as well, I think.
And also bands are a massive pain in the ass because they argue with each other, so the album gets delayed and then one of them leaves and then you think, oh, God. Whereas you don't get that with a soloist can't split up.
Yeah, that's
that's the main thing.
Yeah, it's less risk, isn't it, I suppose, in them set.
That's what makes it more interesting, though, doesn't it? There's always a story behind a band and every story is different.
Oh, that's quite poetic for you, that, Miles.
It was good, that, wasn't it? Yeah.
Thanks very much. Thanks for coming on. Really enjoyed that.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, gents.
I just want to quickly ask you about the Spielberg thing.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to know what happened. that must have just like blown your head off, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, we were selling the, you know, so the Thursday Murder Club would make a perfect kind of BBC One, ITV Sunday night drama. And so, you know, we're selling TV rights. But I, because you know, I try and always do the thing that I shouldn't do, I thought I'd rather sell the film rights instead. And various people came in, and as soon as Spielberg came in and said he wanted to buy it, I just thought, well, I mean, you're being, it's like Nile Rodgers coming along saying, can I produce your next album, Jeff? Yeah, you kind of go, yeah, yes. Yeah, listen, I've no idea if that'll be any good, but I'm certainly not going to turn down the offer. It's great. Love the story. Love the characters. And it's been written at the moment, hopefully filming next year, which would be great. Because everyone who reads the book casts it in their head, and, you know, but Spielberg's going to cast it for real, which is very exciting.
So did you speak directly to him?
Well, obviously, for a number of reasons, he hasn't been over. Can you believe that? I'm really looking forward to when he does. I'm meeting him in person rather than just over the phone. But it's all incredibly exciting, and I'm sure we'll be pitching for various bands to do songs as well. But we can have that conversation another time.
Well, do you know, if you're ever up this way, you're more than welcome to come and have a look around our little studio. Pop in for a tea or a coffee.
Honestly, it looks a little bit like I'm going to be murdered if I were to go in there, but I'm sure it's... I can't wait for that grey to be all over it. It's going to be gorgeous. Right, so thank you so much, gents. That was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you.
Okay, keep up the good work.
Love you, lads.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Anyone want some bullshit?
No. Jokes, yeah. Go.
Bullshit. Bubble wrap.
Here we go.
Was first invented as a wallpaper.
Well, firstly, it's not paper, so...
That's off the cuff. That has got to be bullshit.
What was it? A padded cell?
Fucking hell. That was corny.
Bubble wrap. Wallpaper. Is it to like... You know, like a baby falls on the wall or something like that? Is it like to baby-proof your house or something? Or
I'd be more concerned about
falls
the floor.
Falls on the wall.
Yeah, it'd have to be thrown onto the wall.
Bubble wrap. That's a load of shit, that, isn't it?
I can't even be arsed thinking about
arsed.
Go on then, son.
I say bullshit.
I'm going to say bullshit. I'm not even going to investigate
Can you go into it a bit more? Like,
no.
No, because it's bullshit.
Yeah, but if it's a lie, just
it's true. It started off as wallpaper.
Oh, shit. It got
invented as wallpaper first, which is mental. It was an idea that just like...
What, like a wacky...
Texted wallpaper. And then,
wait a minute. How long has the fucking postman been about? What? Do you know what I mean? Because bubble wrap's used for transporting stuff, innit?
Yeah, but...
You need a fucking bubble wrap.
One without the other. They used to transport things before bubble wrap. Well, like bubble wrap came around, then you could deliver things.
Yeah, but why would you fucking, you know, it's more practical, isn't it? It's way more practical, that son. Paul.
Be it a lie or the truth, it's just stupid.
Continue, Joe,
500 years of Royal Mail.
Wow.
Joe, you didn't actually finish your explanation then, actually. So why was it invented? Is wallpaper for like the 60s or something, did you say? Like a designed thing?
Tom's head's blown about bubble
founded rap. 1516.
What was?
Royal Mail.
Remember it well.
Yeah.
That's fucked, that, isn't it?
1516.
Crikey.
Jesus.
That's quite a memorable...
When did bubble wrap come along, Joe?
1518.
Sorry. So, yeah, it was first marketed as... wallpaper, and then no one obviously bought into it.
When?
Like, so it's then, like a flocked wallpaper, texture.
Yeah, yeah, like, oh no, that was like, fashionable.
Like damask was like, it's very textured.
But was it made out of plastic still? Was it still
the
same?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then rip it well easy.
Then it was marketed as greenhouse installation.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm. But that still didn't take off. Then some people started using it to move house.
Ah.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Right, yeah. Say goodbye.
Yeah.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.